is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Excellent. You know, I'm having some hearing problems. I'm going to go out on faith that that was really loud and powerful. I hope it was, okay? Oh, man. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image." And then it says, "And then He blessed them." Created man in His own image. So what does Jesus look like? Man, we all pray He didn't look like this. You know, it's hard to attract followers that way. But that's what we have to look at. A lot of times people say, we're to be Christ-like Christians. Imitators of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ. When we say we're to be Christ-like, what does that mean? Are we talking about a physical appearance? I must grow my hair long. I can't grow a beard to save my life. This thing took years practically to come in. Are we supposed to have a long robe, sandals? Our character, our speech, are we supposed to talk in that funky foreign language he talked in back then, Aramaic? Our personality, what does it mean when we say we're to be Christ-like? I believe it's more like just more than having and displaying your faith through crosses, maybe, hanging in your home, sayings hanging in your home, the bumper stickers. Crosses swinging from your rearview mirror as you weave erratically in and out of traffic. It's more than that. It's more than our work. Teaching and preaching on a corner, maybe. Calming the seas. I must heal the sick. If I can't pray over the sick and then be healed, do I have no power? It's not about that. In the Bible, people chose to follow Jesus. Why did they do that? They liked what He stood for. But better yet, they liked who He stood up for also. They liked who He stood for, or what He stood for, and who He stood up for. And so people wanted to follow Him. Now there was a certain point in time in the Bible that it says, and many turned away from Him. Still happening today, many turn away. In this pandemic, a lot of people are fleeing from the church or the beliefs. They've got comfortable. I did a message last year sometime called COVID complacency. And we don't have to go to church for months. It was kind of nice. It was relaxing. It was casual. It freed up our time. I tell you, the one thing I missed was fellowship with a body of believers. We came here. We did a message. Okay, Eric and Andrew and I, we were here. I enjoyed that fellowship, but I enjoyed this greater fellowship as well. Looking like Jesus means that we see what He's doing in the world. And we like what He's doing. So we make a decision and we seek to be a part of that. Last week, Spencer brought in a young man that was walking down the street. And he got up and walked away from Shalene and I and thought, where'd he go? Someone said, oh, he went and sat in the back row. I thought, oh, he must be mad at her because it's not me. Well, it wasn't until I turned around that I saw a man sitting alone over there that Spencer wanted to sit by him so he knew he wasn't alone. And that's what it's about, being the hands and feet. When Aaron talked about flying in the airport and going to pray or check on a young lady, it's being the hands and feet of Jesus. So when we say, what does Jesus look like? Or are we being Christ-like? We look and see what He's doing in the world through His work. And we want to be a part of that and join in His work. Now, it's different for all of us. Eric and I were comparing notes on doing yard work at our age. I'm talking the heavy stuff, cutting down tree limbs, those type of things, dragging them around. No, it's no fun. It's no good. So maybe that's not for us. But for other people, it may be doing that. That may be a ministry they see other people doing, or a need that they see that somebody has, and they just say, I'm going on a mission trip. Where are you going? Next door. What are you going to do? Going to mow their lawn, because they need it. I know it's a 87-year-old lady or a 75-year-old man that doesn't get around too well. I know his mower's broke. Whatever. Taking a mission trip next door. How much did it cost you? Nothing. You know, some gasoline. Wow, that's so expensive these days. Come on, guys. I know.
I know, but that's what it's about. We don't always get noticed, by the way, when we go do those things. And we don't have to go stick a yard sign and say, I mowed this guy's lawn, next door neighbor number two or whatever, you know. We don't get noticed for those things. Jesus wasn't looking for recognition. But I tell you what, we can get energized and refilled and renewed. The Bible tells us, do not grow weary when doing good. And it says, do good for others, especially to those that are of the household of faith. And we have to try and go out and step out and do these things and say, where is a need for us to do? Our main purpose when we connect with Jesus Christ is to glorify God. You know where I'm going. I, Adam Dilley, glorify God by, number one, loving others. Number two, serving others. And number three, fill in the blank for yourself, whatever that is, it makes you unique in doing God's work. I glorify God by loving others, serving others, and doing that thing that is unique to me. That's what it's about. So being Christ-like isn't about the appearance. It's about being ourselves, living the way He lived. What does that mean? With His values and His goals, His approach to God, and His approach to people. I'm thankful for what Jesus looks like. It's hard to imitate that. It's hard to imitate that. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26 is where we'll be today. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And it simply is telling us, if we let ourselves be led by the flesh, we'll be into all kinds of things we don't want to be in. So we should walk in the Spirit. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Eric mentioned this a couple weeks ago in his message. I mentioned it as well as we talked about getting into the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, of the like which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now keep in mind, it said once we've accepted Christ, we've already crucified the flesh. But guess what we have to do day in and day out? Crucify the flesh again. By the renewing of our minds daily. Making sure that we can't just say, hey, I've done that once. Now let me ask you a question. I've taken a flight training lesson once. You guys want to hop in an airplane with me today and go for a ride because I've taken it once? By the way, it was 25 years ago. You want to fly with me today? Probably not. I probably forgot a lot. If I haven't gone back and done anything to renew that and keep it fresh in my mind, by the way, I didn't go flight train. I'm just using that as an example. I've never been up in a plane to do that, and I don't want to. But the guys I fly around with at work, guess what they do? They do training constantly. And my owner says we pay great expense for them to do that safety training a couple times a year. Why? He said, I don't want to get up there, run into a problem, and have them go, now what are we supposed to do? I want it to be second nature. Redundancy training, he called it. And that's what we have to do. We have to be renewed and restored and reminded, hey, we can get off track real quick if we get led by the flesh today and we don't get corrected by the Spirit tomorrow, really today, but tomorrow, we'll be in trouble. It says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk. It goes hand in hand. If we live, let's walk in the Spirit. When we go through these things, we've got to find out, now, does that look like Jesus in the things that we do? Is that Jesus? If we use that lens, does that look like Jesus? That'll help us out a lot. We used to have the bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Those were great reminders. Guess what we still need today? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That looks like Jesus through my lens as I inspect and as we see how we're acting, behaving, talking. Does it look like Jesus? It allows ourselves to ask ourselves, how are we doing with the fruit of the Spirit? When we examine those things and says it is the fruit of the Spirit, like I said, when we come before the Lord's table, it says, let a man examine himself. Man, I just did that last month. I've got to examine myself again and see what my shortcomings are. He asked us to do those things. Dwayne and I had a great discussion about that one day. I said, oh, you don't want to look back. And finally he understood, oh, I understand what you're saying. Look back to see where I am, the progress I've made, but also to say, did I really correct these things? He's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense when we do it that way. But if not, let's keep pushing ahead. Absolutely. So as we break these down, I want you to listen to the questions I have behind the fruit of the Spirit. And they're simple questions to ask ourselves daily. Not just today, not just every communion Sunday, but daily. The first one is simply love. Do you choose to love the unlovable? Do you choose to love the unlovable? That's not the end of it, folks. Even when you don't feel like it. Oh, rats. Okay. Adam put a little extra spin on it. Do you choose to love the unlovable? Yes, when it's convenient. Yes, if I feel like it's okay. But do you choose to love the unlovable even when you don't feel like it? I'm in a hurry. I was driving home a week or two ago up Anderson Road here. Passed a guy just sitting on the side of the road. There's no cars anywhere around. It's a scorcher. I was hot just driving in my air-conditioned car. That poor guy. He needs a ride. Oh, where's the place to turn around? Oh, traffic behind me. I turned around, housing addition, pulled up. Said, hey, do you need a ride? He said, what? I said, do you need a ride? He said, are you serious? I said, yes, do you need a ride? Yeah, of course I do. This poor rascal thought he was going to be out on a health thing and do some running / walking 5 miles. Suited up in a lot of clothing to burn off some sweat and weight and whatever. He said, man, I wasn't sure I was going to make it home. Guy lives half a mile down the street here. And I gave him a ride the rest that way. It's just saying, is there opportunity to love those even when you don't feel like it? Cindy's waiting for me at home. There's food waiting for me. Yeah, all right. Everything looks good. Sorry, honey, I'm going to be a little late. I had to turn around, pick up a guy, take him home, then go back from where I started from. I don't say that. I'm not going, hey, good job, Adam. I'm saying those are, I'm just trying to give you examples to say, hey, when we don't feel like it. Joy. Woo, I love to be filled with joy. It says he wants us to be filled. Wants joy to be overflowing with us and in us. However, do you allow bad circumstances to steal your joy? Do you allow bad circumstances to steal your joy? These are all things that as we go through the fruit of the Spirit, we have to examine and we have to ask ourselves. What does Jesus look like? Man, he was filled with joy. Did he allow circumstances to steal his? Or did he maintain that because he knew that joy came from inside? It came from his connection to the Father. Peace. Are you at peace in non-peaceful times? Ooh. Are you at peace in non-peaceful times. It may be non-peaceful times in your home, at your workplace, in your city, in your state, in the national government, whatever, the world. Are you at peace in non-peaceful times? Now think about this for a minute. The fruit of the Spirit of peace, if you don't have peace in non-peaceful times, is that also a circumstance that steals your joy? So these things start getting connected to one another. Patience. I don't have time for that. Kindness. I'm just kidding. Patience. Now this one, I didn't like this one, okay? How good are you at working with another timetable? Oh yeah, besides your own. How good are you at working with another timetable besides your own? And really, church, as we look at these things, they're things that people look at us, or that we have in us or don't have in us, that when people look at us, they say, ugh, they're a Christian. I don't want to be like that. Oh my gosh, they never have joy. They're always just, situations, circumstances. They never have any peace about them. I'm okay. My wife has peace to a point where I don't like it. When God's ready to take me, I'm ready to go. No, hang on. Let's slow down there, honey. She's like, no, I'm okay. I'm at peace with that. Well, good for her. I'm not. But some people, they look at us and say, do you have these things? These things are the evidence of what people see in us. To say, I like that, I don't. Not that they like us or don't, but I like the Christian or I don't. Or, that's Christ-like, and I want to know what they're part of. I want to follow that. I want to have something to do with that. So, patience, how good are you at looking, at working with another timetable besides your own? By the way, in this day and age, it is very difficult to be patient in certain places where we go where they lack employees. Last week we went to eat. There was a place that said, please forgive us. You know, we're trying to hire up, but we've been unsuccessful, basically. Please have patience for those that are here showing up for work. And yet a lot of Christians decide this will be the time to tell people I'm intolerant of their slowness in service. It's tough. Kindness. How do you deal with people in situations that frustrate you? I just kind of mentioned that in the reference to patience or how slow service may be, how long people take. Kindness. How do you deal with people in situations that frustrate you? Goodness. Do you seek that which is good as defined by God's word? Do you seek that which is good as defined by God's word? You may say, oh yeah, it was good. It was a great time. Oh, I see. We went out and got hammered drunk or whatever. I don't know. But is it good according to God's word? Faithfulness. Uh-oh, here we go. Faithfulness. Do you waver in your faith when times are hard? When you come up against difficult situations, it could give you a lack of peace. It could steal your joy. You could run out of patience. And you certainly don't want to be kind anymore. And now your faith is pulled into question. Do you waver in your faith when times are hard? And here's all I say. A young man at work came up to me and talked about this. He said, how do you stand faithful? I said, well, I love the story in the Bible where Jesus is talking to the guy. He says, do you believe? And the guy says, I believe. But help my unbelief. So if you struggle with situations that are difficult, pray to God, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, where you may start having a little disconnect or a little distrust in the Lord that He's got this, and by the way, that it's by His plan. To stay strong in those situations. Because he says, when you become mine, you may come up against a lot of tough situations. But I've got this. Oh, and by the way, the first scripture we read says he created us in his own image. So we have to know that he's got it. He's got the master plan. Gentleness. Gentleness. Are you gracious in your dealings with others? Are you gracious in your dealings with others? And then the last one, self-control. Who or what controls you? That's a tough one. Who or what controls you? Well, nothing controls me, really. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your efforts? Where do you spend your mind? Where does that sit? And what absorbs, what does your mind absorb? Who or what controls you? Now, as we look at those nine things, we have to say, what does Jesus look like? Does he have those issues taken care of? So if we're to be Christ-like, I've got nine areas right there covered under one thing, the fruit of the Spirit. That if I'm to be Christ-like, I need to work on those. And the tough thing to do is go back and examine and say, where do I stand in all this stuff? In my life, am I really focused on my faith? Or am I focused on all this and my faith is an afterthought? Oh, I know I've got to be there Wednesday and Sunday, and that's it. Or do I say, these are the things that should be guiding me and leading me throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout my month? By the way, next month when we do communion, and it said, let a man so examine himself. I hope I'm a little better here. I hope that I've chosen to love the unlovable even when I don't feel like it. I hope I was able to maintain my inner joy when bad circumstances came up against me. And by the way, when things weren't peaceful all around me, in the home, at work, in the city government, state government, national government, world, I had a peace about me. You know what? I wasn't able to work on my time frame, but I was okay. I was at peace and I was filled with joy just sitting there and waiting to work outside of my timetable. And by the way, I had some situations that frustrated me, but I was very kind to the people because I knew it wasn't their fault. And if it was, I knew that they really didn't mean to do that to me. And if they did, see, it just keeps going on that we have to share that kindness. Goodness. Man, I sought out what God said about what's good in the Bible. In case you mentioned that today as we were practicing, you know, looking for those things that are good and right. I looked up those and I thought, those are going to be the things that I spend my time doing or focusing on. By the way, a situation came up. And it really made me question my faith, but it made me stronger in it because I just dug down deeper because I knew God's word was true. And I had to deal with some people in a tough situation, but I was gentle and kind to them. And then I focused on, hey, what's occupying my time? And where do I spend my money? It's all gone. Where did it go? And I don't have any free time. Where did it go? And I started coming to and writing down, oh, those things are controlling me. And I need to get control over them. So I started adjusting some things in my life. So as we examine ourselves, it's not just about saying, Lord, am I a good person in general? I'll take that as a yes. You didn't say no. Okay. And move on. We can't do that. We have to do the hard work of sitting down, reflecting on our true selves. And really, where are we? Let's see. Walk in the Spirit. Yeah, okay. Then it tells us if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. So, God, you are telling me that these things go hand in hand together. That I can't just say I live in the Spirit and then walk any way I want. But you're telling me I've got to live in the Spirit here and walk in the Spirit here, and they tie together. And this fruit of the Spirit, I can't just pick which one of the nine I'm best at and just focus on that. You're telling me all nine of those things are part of one gift that you've given me when I've accepted you. And so I need to focus on all nine of those? Well, God, if I'm serious about being a Christ follower, and your word already said, I make all things new, the old man has passed away, then right after that you said that I have now become your ambassador. It's not the job's available if you want it. It's like, no, you got it. You are Christ's ambassador. And that's what I'm saying. When we look at this list, people look at us and say, whew, what a lousy ambassador. I don't want any part of that organization. Or, that's pretty cool. I want to be a part of that. And it doesn't have to be a part of this, but it has to be a part of this. I mean, it doesn't have to be a part of prayer or faith. If they're a part of the body of believers and saying, I want to be a part of that. That's what we want them to be a part of. Hey, if they're part of prayer or faith, great. We get the benefit of that. But we want people, strangers or people we know, to be a part of the big picture. The whole picture. One God, one faith. Amen? There's a certain point we get to. It's not enough to know what God wants us to be like or to be or to do. But we have to examine ourselves and seek and ask and truly say and be prepared for His answer and our own honest, truthful answers. How am I doing? God, how am I doing? I did great for 20 years, Lord, and then wheels fell off the wagon about 12, 15 years ago. I don't know. I'm still here, but what are we doing? How am I doing? How close am I or how far am I to hitting your mark? You can't get to where He needs you to be if you don't know where you are. And you have to ask yourself, where am I? Don't worry about if you're further left, right, south, or north than you thought you were as far as the faith. Find out where you are and then find out where He wants you to be and start saying, what do I need to get rid of? What do I need to add? Whew, I need to get rid of these things in my life. And don't try and do it all at once. I may need to just, you know, every Sunday is my time. I go do this and that. It may be time to say, I need to replace that with church. Let me just try it once. Let me try it here, there. When I'm not at peace, what is it that gives me no peace? Do I feel like because I don't have control, I don't have peace? You've got to ask yourself those questions. And they become tough and difficult to ask yourself. But you have to know, if He wants me to be here, and I want to please God, where am I and how do I get where He wants me to be? I may not be there tomorrow if He takes me home today, but He knows that I'm going on that path. He may say, you've got another 50 years to get there, better get moving. And it won't be as tough, you know. But we have to find out where we are. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the work on the cross that He did. Lord, we thank You for the example He gave us. Lord, for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ, we have the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. God, help us to just continue to search that and examine ourselves. Not just know the stories, not just know your desires, but how do we get there? Lord, we know that you are good. You want the best for us. Lord, let us do our part in allowing you to give us the best and provide the best for us. Lord, self-examination is difficult. It's hard to be honest with ourselves at times. But help us to purpose in our heart to do it so that we can be more pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name.